I'm super excited we get to do this today. We've been going through this amazing book of the Bible, Hebrews. And last week we had really what he'd been building up to, this amazing presentation that is critical to understand for how we think about, live, experience our Christian life. And it doesn't seem like that. And that's why many people, they read Hebrews and they kind of just get a little confused and go on. But for us, the idea of Jesus Christ being a priest in the order of Melchizedek, big deal. And so check that out last week. This is really important, but that's the idea. Jesus Christ is a different kind of priest for you and me. Special, not by lineage, but by the power of an indestructible life. This is the message of Hebrews, and he's going to now explore the meaning of that for the next several chapters as he brings it home for us how important this is, this huge change in relationship, the Melchizedekian priest. It's like before Abram became Abraham, there was this special before the law, over it, blessing, and now a new one. That's why he said there, you know, we're going to call this leaving Legos. You'll see why in a minute. But he said this. He kind of just dropped it in. Therefore, this makes Jesus a guarantor, a guarantee of a better covenant. I just want that to sink in for a second. There's something new. There's something better. He went on to say how much more amazing he is than any human priest ever. He's the perfect. He lives forever to make intercession for us. Absolutely incredible. But we're kind of left with Jesus Christ is amazing and there's a better covenant. But what is it? Could you really tell me exactly what it is? That's what we're talking about today. To understand this new relationship means leaving what you've known and what you've soaked in your whole life. So we start to understand what it is. We're going to understand today, we're considering two main things that the text brings out for us. One, moving from shadow to reality. And the other one is moving from old to new. So follow with me. This is the Bible for you to grab hold of, to take in, to be amazed at what God has provided for you today in Christ. Okay, we start with shadow to reality, and this is chapter 8, the first verse. So if you want to go there, if you're following in your Bible, this is all of chapter 8. It's much shorter than chapter 7. And we start in verse 1. It says this. It says, now the point in what we are saying is this. Isn't that nice whenever they say, hey, let's circle this. We have such a high priest. One who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. Okay, the main point, right? We have a priest. That changes everything. That's been the point of this whole section. Jesus is our seated high priest, and he's king in the actual presence of the Almighty God. That's not really what he kind of inserts here, right? Did you catch what he did? In the true tent. He is the reality. He's in the true dwelling that God set up, the Lord set up, not the tabernacle made by man, which would be what? Well, the tent they made, right? The tabernacle. No, also the tent, anything made by man. The temple, this is talking about the heavenly throne of God. We have a high priest in heaven itself, seated in the place of authority, serving us in these holy places. That's simply the truth, he says. Are you with me? That's an amen. That's super cool. But he says, yeah, I get that, Dax. Jesus ascended into heaven where he's seated at the right hand of God and he's making intercession for me. But have you thought about that's what the true reality is? And everything that happened down here was a picture of it. Man sets up his tents. We build things. They are symbolic. They are partial. They are pictures. Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, our high priest, is the reality of the existence of the world. I mean, there's lots we don't know about what he does, right? One thing we don't know is what does he offer as a priest? For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. So Jesus is up there in reality offering something. What is it? Now, if he were on earth, he wouldn't be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So here on earth, there were earthly priests. They were offering gifts according to the law of God. But our last chapter made it very clear. Jesus is a different kind of priest. So what is he doing? He's offering gifts not according to the law. That's the implication. Over it, above it, setting it aside. He's offering something, but here it's not according to the law because the law has been set aside. So this is the first real image to understand for you and me, to take into our hearts, because it's very difficult for us to do, is this idea that the law, the priesthood, the tabernacle, the temple, is a shadow of what reality is. What you need to see is the law is a shadow. You know a shadow, right? Like you shine a bright light like you're shining on me, but you might not be able to see. I got a shadow back there. And you can kind of see, wow, he's kind of fat. You can kind of get his form a little bit. You can kind of get the picture. But that's not the truth. It's a copy, an image, a shadow. Well, that can't be what he means. The law is wonderful. No? Keep reading. They serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. He's talking about the priests under the law. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." Why does this help me? Why is he bringing this up? Because I am tempted always to make the pattern the real thing. The model becomes sort of my way and my life, and it isn't. Let me give you a picture. And that's not leaving Legos, right? Because when I was younger and a younger parent, my kids, when they were little, they liked Legos. Maybe your kids do too. But you know, and they were fun to put on and all that stuff and the way they did it. But you know they make Legos for adults? Amazing. Very cool. Like, they're so complex and amazing. Like, you can go, wow, look at all the pieces and you put them together. My personal favorite, just looking at them, is the little bouquet of wildflowers. You can actually make a bouquet of flowers. You can put the little pieces together and match them all up and you figure it all out and you have this amazing flower. The Lego Botanical Collection. But you don't make the mistake, do you? You don't think after you've made that amazing bouquet of wildflowers, they remind me of flowers, but they're not flowers. I don't stick them in a vase and water them to keep them fresh. If someone hands me a flower and I take my Lego flower, it's not going to fool me. I'm going to go, here's the cool flower. This is the poor copy. I mean, it's complex. It's cool. By saying poor copy, I'm not like denigrating it. Most amazing thing you ever do to make an adult Lego flower. But you're never going to be thinking it's the flower. That's what he's talking about. That's it, right? It's fun to make. It gives me the image, the concept of the real thing, but the amazing flower. But when you have the actual flower, that's what you put on your table in a vase and you water it. You don't water the Lego flower. You don't mistake the Lego flowers for the real thing. And that's what we need to realize today. You know, we got to leave the Legos. Because we have the actual flower. We have the real thing he's talking about. That's what he's saying. That's what he's trying to make clear to you and to me as he speaks in this way. The law was the Lego kit. You make everything according to this pattern. This pattern because it pointed to what's real in the heavens. But those priests and those offerings, they're only a shadow. They're only a copy. And he says, here's the proof. And he quotes Exodus chapter 25. Where God told Moses, hey, here's the pattern. So trying to keep the law is putting Lego pieces together. It's cool. Man, you can make some complex things. It's not the real thing. There's a real heavenly place, you guys. That's what the Bible says. And our author's making sure you see that the law, as it was set up, the instructions for the place of worship, the commandments that you're supposed to do, they point to, they image, they give a little flavor, but it's not the real thing. It's a representation, a copy, a pattern, a shadow. The pattern is valuable because it captures an image of the real thing. When you make the Lego flower, it reminds you of a real flower. Actually, I do like, but man, those spaceships they make out of Legos are cool too, right? Too bad they don't fly. That's the point. The point is that what came before, the priesthood, the tabernacle, the law, is not the pinnacle of God wants or what he is doing. It was pointing forward to what is reality. Aaron, the Levites, the priests, the law, the whole system, a picture of the heavenly reality that Jesus actually is. So you see that a bit, right? When you study the tabernacle, you can see it. You know, there's the holy place, the holy of holies, where only the priest can go in once a year, and he has to purify himself, make himself totally clean, and then he can go in, and then he sprinkles blood over the atonement seat, the mercy seat. And you got all the things that represent different items, like the showbread and the incense burning always. And we explored some of that. If you look at our Exodus series, where you say it points forward to these realities that are ahead. But this point is the whole thing does. Not just the little parts of the tabernacle. The system. Especially the actual work being done, the intercession, the offerings to God, the priesthood, they've been pushed aside because they were weak and useless, he said last chapter. Because now we have what is real. Oh! So life isn't trying to fit all the shadows, all the copies into reality. It's not about that because we have the reality. I don't go backwards and try and critique the Lego flower. I can't go make the Lego flower into a flower. I don't have that kind of ability. Not when I simply receive an actual flower. Check out the real thing. That's the idea. So I hope then you're with me that the thing becomes, well, what is the real thing? Because I'm kind of used to acting like the Lego flower is the real thing. The law keeping. Like that's what I do because that's how the world works and that's where I am. But now you're telling me there's the real thing that I've received. So what is that? Well, that's really good. We're going to push into that for a minute. That's what he pushes into. It's not just about this idea of shadow to reality. It's what's the reality? It's moving from the old to the new. Got to know what the new is. That's what we're wanting to do. Okay, so verse 6, he says this. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. See what he's doing? He's laying there. There's a new relationship, a covenant. By covenant, think about relationship. Think about the interaction we're going to have with the God of the universe. That interaction, that relationship, that's not the old one. Jesus is in charge of this one. It has better promises. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. This is our covenant. Christ's ministry is more excellent. We've already seen it. Melchizedek is before and outside and above the Levitical priesthood. Jesus is better. And I totally get the Jesus is better thing, but when he just drops it's a better covenant, I'm like, well, what is it? Why can't they just merge together, you know? It seems like a lot of people use the Bible that way. We just sort of take the Bible and we kind of stick it all together and we stir. Does not make good soup. There's an old and it moves to a new. That's what he's saying. That's making sure you see it. Why? Why did that have to happen? Why are we going from the old to the new? Why not just like sweep it all together? Because there's a problem. What's the problem? This problem. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. See, the first one, he's finding fault with. There's a second covenant. There's a new relationship because the first one had such trouble. So you got to stop here for a second. Something new is introduced. This is the game change. There's a whole new agreement. The Lego kit, the wildflowers that aren't really wildflowers, gets dropped. And the actual bouquet of flowers gets put in your hand. How do we know? Because God says a new plan is coming. That's this verse. And then the author right now goes on to give the very longest quote of the Old Testament in the New Testament that exists. He takes, make sure, can we forget it? You know, we don't study these books very much. He takes the longest single thing, pulls it out, and plops it in. It's not that the Old Testament didn't talk about this. It's that we're kind of hard of hearing. Don't miss the point he's making as he quotes from Jeremiah 31. The old plan, the old agreement, the old covenant, God found fault with it. So hard with us because we've fallen in love with the Legos. Maybe you don't like Legos. Like Dax, I never liked Legos anyway. Okay, the Mona Lisa. Have you heard of the Mona Lisa? It's a really famous painting. You know what I want to do with the Mona Lisa? I want to study the swirls. Have you looked at it up close? How he painted it. It's so amazing. It's just a little half smile. How did they do that? How did he make her forehead shine? How did he make her eye glint? And I'm all into all of those things. You do realize it's a portrait. We don't even care about the actual person. She had a name. I wrote it down somewhere. I don't see it here. I maybe was going to talk about it later. Lisa de Goncarlo or something? See, I don't even know. What if she walked in? You're like, oh, so nice to meet you. I'd be like, no, I don't even care about you. I'm looking at the painting over here. I really want to see the swirls. I want to know how this is made. I want to know how you do this. I want to focus on this. So what about the person? You guys, this is the reality over here. The actual person. The real thing. This is what we're talking about. Life is not about the painting. Life is about the life. So we should be really looking at what our relationship is. Here it is, verse 8. For he finds fault with them when he says, Speaking of them under the old covenant, right? Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the old covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. It says that I found fault with it because he says he needs a new one, a new promise. And the contrast is the covenant made when God rescued Israel from Egypt and gave them the law. Very specific, that's what he's talking about. Why it didn't work, it says, is they didn't continue in it. The pattern was laid out there. It wasn't good enough. We know this story. Don't you know this story? It's the story of the Old Testament. Their inability to actually just obey what God told them to obey, they just didn't do it. Finally, they get kicked out of the land. Theologically, the same story in Romans, right? Look, there's the beautiful, perfect law. Look, there's the people. Oh, they don't do the law. There's no one righteous. No, not one. He means nobody that keeps the law. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's... Well, I haven't had my go yet. I can do better. Stop playing with the Legos. That's the old model. Through the law, no one is made righteous, the Bible says. It's not the pattern's fault. You just can't get to be a flower by following this pattern with little plastic pieces. So what is he going to do? What did he do? Well, if that portrait wasn't good enough, what is? Well, he's still quoting Jeremiah 31. Look. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Okay, here is the new relationship. Here's the actual living being and not the painting. Here's the house of Israel. Don't get confused by that. He's talking about his chosen people. His people. I am a child of God in Abraham by faith. You are too if you trust in Jesus. This is the new relationship. This is it. I just don't want you to miss this is the description of the new relationship. Okay. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Just so important, because this is new, that this is not the old, because I want to read it like the old. What would that be? He'll be my God as long as I keep his laws. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say they must be faithful and loyal to me. No. The description is what he will do. Let me tell you the new relationship. I will do this. I will help him. That's not part of the relationship. If he puts his laws into your mind, if he writes them on your heart, you do spontaneously the thing God wants you to do. You don't work at it. They shall be my people. I will be their God. This is the truth because I'm making it happen, says the Lord. There's not going to be any doubt. There's not going to be any try. It's not going to be what you will do. There will be no judging. You'll not have to correct anyone or yourself ever. Well, we're going to need to exhort each other. Learn God's ways. Follow the footsteps of Jesus. You heard about the way? That's not part of this. How do I know? Because he's not done. Look what he says. He says, and they shall not teach each one to his neighbor and each one to his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. This is huge. No hierarchy, no great in heaven, no high ones teaching low ones, no advanced wise teachers and lowly ignorant dummies. All simply in relationship. We will know God, our Father, our Savior, our Spirit, least to the greatest, radical new relationship, because the old relationship was, be faithful to me and I will bless you. Obey me and I will bless. Disobey me and I will curse. And this huge list, right? 600 plus things you could do to make sure the nations knew you were God's people. You're going to be a weird and peculiar people because you're my people, and you will do these things so they will know. They didn't do them. I so think what's supposed to happen is I'm supposed to, with a little help from my friend Jesus, go back and be a good Lego flower. What? That's not what this is saying. This new relationship is going to be your heart and mind will simply do what God wants because he is your God, not he might be. Now everyone will simply know him who is his. No teaching of the law. How can this be? We're going to have some chapters to think how it might be. But for the moment, I know it's the wrong question. Because what I'm doing is taking the actual promise from the Old Testament about what the new covenant is that now is being told me in the New Testament, both Testaments, about what the relationship is, and I'm saying, I don't believe it. Prove it to me, God. Ooh. I'm not really there. I don't want a thunderbolt. This is what the new covenant is. How is really this last promise. Here's the promise. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. The idea of iniquity will be gone because he is merciful. Now, not that you won't do them, but it's swallowed up in mercy, right? That's what he's saying. It's like in the Garden of Eden. It's like Adam and Eve, they're walking around and they're naked and unashamed. That's coming. It's not there. We're still living this world. I still am impacted by it. My flesh still exists. I'm at the same time sinner and saint. I get it. But I'm talking about my life, which is the saint in Christ and where I'm in him and I just trust him. The idea of iniquity gone because he's merciful. Look, this is the promise of what was coming. I will be merciful toward their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. I will take you out of the game. I will make you alive, not building a pattern of being but being part of my life, says Jesus. I think of it like our reading earlier today. We read what we do every single week in communion. You got to at least be a little familiar with that passage if you've been here for more than a week, because we use it all the time. Jesus establishing that life is in his blood and his body. It's a gift to you to be in him, part of the new covenant that's the forgiveness of sins. And it's followed directly by Peter, who says, I'm going to be good for you, Jesus. Boatload of hooey. Because what did he do? He ran away. Jesus was abandoned and alone. That's after he already took the communion, you know. Didn't make him into some super special. The hope he's going to have is that Jesus actually died for him and it worked. Not that that somehow made him a better Lego flower, a better keeper of the law, that his own personal loyalty would therefore be what he could stand on. Never! If the old covenant is a rowboat and you learn to row obediently, then the new covenant is a motorboat and you're riding along in it. It's not the case, and this is why this is here, is you can't say, I'm going to use my rowing skills. To do what? well to propel the boat, of course. What are you talking about? It's a motorboat. Well, I like the rowboat better. Yeah, that's us too often. There's the new covenant. It's about Jesus. It's about his mercy for us. And there we are, just going off on it. Brand new promises, brand new arrangement, really, really important to our thinking, because even though we say we believe in Jesus, we function under the law all the time. We grade how we're doing, how God thinks of us based on how we're keeping the law. We give each other biblical counsel based on how it conforms to the law all the time. Look, Jesus says, that's fine, but it's the old. It's passing away. Like you. You're like flowers that quickly die. But if you're connected to me, you will rise from the dead and have life forever. Trust me. Trust me. God turns his memory from our sins. So look out. It's hardwired in us. I know that it is, to bring back religion. It says, well, you know, he ignores our sin only when we follow this procedure, when we promise not to do it again, because the important thing is my will to change. Really? How's that working out for you? See, my lack of condemnation is that I trust Jesus actually died for me and it worked. Now be balanced here, Dax. You got to do your part and then God will do his part. What's your part? Do you know what your part is? I mean, I guess you could say your part is believing this is true, of not going back to your Lego kit, but I do go back to my Lego kit and I got to come back to this little tiny mustard seed of faith that, oh, my hope is actually in what Jesus has done for me, not in my law keeping because it's in my face all the time. These other things we do, forgiving other people and loving other people and bearing fruit, are all downstream of this amazing new covenant. You can talk about what you want to do for God, but it's always a response to what he's already done for you. And man, harp on that. He's already done for you. You are so set. There is nothing you have to do. You are in the boat. This is the new covenant. That's what the new relationship is. He did it for you. That's the way of speaking about it. And he ends like this. This is the end of it. And speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. It hasn't totally vanished, I get it, but it's ready to vanish away. I know, it's like almost too much to take in on the one hand. And on the other hand, man, I'm like, well, I kind of already know this. Why do I even have to do it again? Because I forget it all the time. That there's a sharp divide between the old and the new, and we're in the new. But between the shadow and the reality, and Jesus and what he's done, our high priest is the reality, and not my societal law-keeping that continues to be how this world that's passing away functions. So let me just give a couple in summary and as we close. What it looks like, this new covenant, as we live it out, as we start to think on it, that Jesus Christ has died for us and it worked, and we're in this new relationship where his mercy has covered all of our sin. Here's the thing. One is it's anti-religion. I've already kind of mentioned this, but it's not you getting rid of your sin. If I could just have one thing that I had you walk out with today, it's that your goal of your life is not that through your effort and time, you will slowly become someone who doesn't need any more Jesus. You will need him your whole life. It is not about how well you row the boat when it's a motorboat. You think you're strong and you're not. You may have trained for the wrong thing. So it is with the law. It should humble us, all of us. None of us have it down. We all sin in many ways. Our hope is the forgiveness of Christ, and we're going to about to take communion. That's where life is. And again, new relationship means intimacy over formalism. Because look what it said. Didn't it say in verse 11? They will all know me. That's the baseline for relationship. It's not on how often you come to church or not. It's not if you stand and sing or if you sit. It's not on how you dress. It's about the trust that you know that your priest in heaven says, I've got you and you know me. He loves you. Did you see how the new covenant's about equality and not hierarchy or classism? It would be a big deal when they heard it. From the least to the greatest, you don't even need a teacher. Shocking. Women and kids, we're so equal before the Lord. He's got us. This gives us some tender patience with each other. I will put my laws, it says, on their hearts. That's plural, by the way. It's a community. I look at you and I say, God's got you, just like I look at me and say, God's got me. That's my hope, is that in Christ that's happened. So it gives me patience with you. Because I look at you and do you know what I see? Or you look at me, do you know what you see? He doesn't do the law very well. I wonder if he even has the new covenant. And the whole point of this book is going to be, there's going to be a whole chapter on it. It's called the Hall of Faith. It's going to be, we trust in what God has said, not we look and find what we think he ought to do. He has said this. This is what will be. Hasn't happened yet. I don't see it yet. I know it's coming. That the law of God, the what exactly he wants, is simply going to spontaneously be me. It may not look like the Ten Commandments. Those have been set aside. But I'll tell you what, it will be what God has for me. Trust in him. You can be bold to be yourself. Jesus Christ has come and he has started a new relationship. It's actually the most amazing news you'll ever have. The actual reality of Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of God the Father in the most real thing that exists, which is the throne room of heaven. And we have him there, and he has died for you. So may I just say this, you are loved. You are forgiven. You simply receive because Jesus Christ has done it. And if you say, okay, Dax, but what does he offer? Doesn't he offer my good works? Okay, you're going to need to stick around because that's what he's going to talk about. This is our Jesus. This is the bedrock of our faith. This is reality. We have this amazing high priest, and he's for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this chapter and the wonder of it. Thank you for the new covenant that we get to have in the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Lord, we do not shy away from trusting that what you said of what you will do will come to pass. Lord, we so want to know you. We want to rest in the wonder of the mercy that covers our sin, of the life that we have now, but we'll have even more in you. Help us to live in light of it, Jesus, in your precious name.